Praise God, he's good. Amen. Your little lad's walking out with the koya. Man, wasn't the pozole good this morning? Man, praise God. Thank you, sister. What? It's good right now, right? If you're late, yeah. Nobody saw you. Jesse. Coming in after the first worship song. No. God sees all things. No, welcome to Christ Community Church. God is so good. I'm so glad that you guys are here to just worship, to fellowship, right? To just get to be around each other, right? This is what I would say, man, there's 52 one another's in the New Testament. I don't even know if you know that. And, you know, it's our desire that we do that here at Christ Community Church, right? Whether we're meeting on Sundays or breaking bread or gathering for community groups or men's group or coffee meetups or whatever it is that we're doing life together. Amen. And so, to me, it's one of the greatest privileges and joys that we can do these things. And so, again, thank you, Sister Virginia. And then everybody always brings, you know, after service, I'll walk back there and I was like, oh, there's some new cookies. Somebody brought another pastry, you know, so it's all good. But last week, switch gears real quick, get back into the service. Last week, if you didn't listen to the service on our website, which the kids announce all the time, or if you haven't downloaded the app, shame on you. It was fuego. It was good. Not because it was me, because it's God's word. Amen. I'm nothing, right? But God's word is fire. Amen. And so, man, if you missed, just go back and listen to it. It's okay. I know it's not as funny when you, it's better live. Amen. It's like, have you ever watched hockey? For the life of me, I can't watch it. Like, you know, I could never, it's a good thing I'm not Canadian, right? Because for the life of me, I watch it on TV and I was like, that's so boring. I don't understand it. They do it and then they stop and then they fight. But I went to a hockey game once live and it was awesome. It was amazing. So all to say is, yes, catch up on the website, on the app, but it's better if you come in person. Amen. Because guess what? When you're listening to it in your car, you don't have Sister Virginia's pozole, you know? You don't have the breakfast burrito, so it's better for you to come in person. Amen? Yeah, God is good. But last week, the sermon was on, you guys remember, we needed some R&R, we needed some resurrection, and we needed some restoration, right? Because Jesus didn't come just to, he came to die on the cross, he resurrected on Sunday, and then what happens, right? We learned in reading in John chapter 20, that the disciples themselves were what? They were afraid. They were afraid. They were, you know, they were still locked up, right? And they were afraid that the religious leaders were going to come and kill them too. And so we talked about the restoration that we find in Jesus Christ. But we couldn't leave it there, right? We couldn't talk about what is one of the key individuals in the Bible that experiences restoration himself. We're talking about none other than who? Peter, right? And so we're going to spend some time in John chapter 21. If you have your Bibles, you'll turn with me to John chapter 21. We're going to read verses 1 through 19. And then we're going to stop and come back and we're going to break it down. Because that is a big piece of steak, right? What do we like to do when you have it? When you go to Ruth Chris, do you try to eat all in one bite? No, right? You got that tomahawk in front of you. Whatever it is that your favorite is. You tend to go, let me savor it. Let me slow it down, right? It's like when our kids eat. I'm like, are you in a race or what? Like, slow down. Like, anyway. John chapter 21, verse 1. It says, and after Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee, it happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, which are James and John, if you don't know that, and the other two disciples were there. I like how John just says, and these other two guys. The other two disciples were there. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net because of a large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, let's pause there, right? Isn't that so funny? Like, John is like, you know who Jesus loves? He loves me, right? So he's talking about himself. He says, so the disciple whom Jesus loved said, and this John, he could have just said, so I said, right? He didn't say that. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. And when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coal with fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. Now this is the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Amen. Let's keep reading. 15 says, now when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again he said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. And the third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, you were younger, you dressed yourself when you went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. And Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Amen. Man, that's a lot of scripture, yeah? All right, let's break it down. Let's take that. Let's cut out the... I don't know about you, but when you have a good steak, what's the first part you like to get? The little crunchy part? The side? The little end piece? Huh. Yeah, some of you guys are like, Pastor, where are you? You just finished eating pozole. We're not hungry. Now I'm hungry for steaks. Listen, if you have a carne asada, you know my number, okay? You can call me. I'll show up. I'll bring something to drink. I'll bring the plates too, you know. Just call me. It's all good. But no, this is a big, big, big passage of scripture, so it's important that we break it down. And what's happened? Now, it's funny because now Jesus has already appeared to them. Last week, we were surprised because Jesus, they saw him. He revealed himself. And then we learned two times that they were what? They continued to be locked up. Right? They were continued to be afraid. And now I would say, again, last week, you would think that now the disciples would be going and doing God's work. And yet again, what are they doing now? They're all, hey, what do you want? What are you doing? I don't know. I'm going to go fishing. I'll go with you. Right? Especially Peter, right? And so it's kind of interesting that that's the backstory there we pick up. There's just a lot to cover here, but let's start to break it down. Because what we're seeing here is a recap that they go back to what? Peter was what? He was a fisherman. The sons of Zebedee were what? They were fishermen. So they went back to what they knew. But it's interesting that they had already seen and had encounter with God, but they still went back and reverted. Now Peter, more than anybody, and we'll see why he's feeling this way. Because we knew that Peter wasn't just, you guys remember, Peter was the guy that was like chopping off ears, right? You guys remember that? Chopping off somebody's ear. He was always on fire. He was the one who walked on water. And now we see that he's doing what? Going back to what he did before. Almost like he had never met Jesus. Wow. Wow. Now, there's a story in there for us, right? And so that's what we're going to get into it. Because the reality is that Peter is living in, he's living, it doesn't say that, but we kind of know it, that Peter had denied Jesus how many times? 3 times, right? And so he's living in that failure. He's steeped in it. That Jesus had told him that he was going to be, he was going to be the rock on which the church was going to be built, and what? That the gates of hell would not withstand it. Can you imagine if you got that calling? And that you knew Jesus and you walked with him and then you turned your back on him. Oh, man. So Peter is all up in his feelings right now. And rightfully so. Amen? Rightfully so. He's feeling down. And so what did he do? He said, well, I'll just go back to fishing. See, sometimes when we fail, and in our walk, when we fail, we want to return to our old ways. That's the first fill in the blank today. Sometimes in our walk, when we fail, we want to return to our old ways. Isn't that normal? Because, listen, Jesus has saved you. You are set free. But man, that doesn't mean that you're exempt from falling. That doesn't mean that you're saved from sin. Does that mean you're saved from the penalty of sin? But that doesn't mean that you stop being a sinner. Right? Or it's just me. Because when you got saved, the dove came down. It descended upon you. And then you were just, that day forward, you're like a mini pope wherever you go, blessing people. And yes, bless you, child. Yes, everywhere I go, my work, blessing people. The coffee, you're blessing it. You're so holy. You're so good. Is that true? No, right? It feels like it's the opposite sometimes. If we're honest, yes or no? Because the enemy is the enemy. He's a liar, man. This flesh wants what it wants. And when we fail, we want to go what? To our old ways. See, Peter was a fisherman, but yes, he was going back to his job. But what happens to us when we fail? The old self, the flesh starts to poke it's all, see? Here I come. I'm ready, right? And it wants to come roaring back. Amen? But Jesus doesn't stop at your salvation. Amen? Jesus shows up. And so what we're going to see here is that he did the same thing for Peter. He met him at his need. He met him where he was at. Because when we fail, we want to go back to our old ways a little bit. And the other part that we see is that sometimes when we fail, don't you see that other people around you start to say, ah, see? I thought you're posting all this stuff about Jesus, and weren't you going to church, and now what? But he goes back to what he's familiar. Now here's the key truth for us, right? Sometimes, listen, even after you've been saved, here's the reality of life. You're going to fall. And I'm not saying fall crazy. You're just, life happens. Yes or no? Right? And then we start to see the old and we have to say, man, get behind me. We have to get me. You have to. And how do we do that? I'm going to get into that. But mainly it's through the power of the Holy Spirit, through prayer, and through the fellowship as well. It's important. We fail, but you don't have to return back to your old ways. The enemy wants to invite you back. He would love to have you back. Amen? You got to kick that enemy. He's already... Ugh. That's my karate. That's me karate kicking the enemy. Okay? It doesn't go that high. My enemy is short. Because I have a big God. Amen? So when you see me like this, that's because... It's not because I can't kick high. You know, I could do a round kick over here, but he's right there, so that's what you're going to see. Now, you have a big enemy there. It's up to you. My enemy is right there, so get out of here. We want to go back to our old habits, our old mindsets, our old way of living. Is there a blessing behind that, brothers and sisters? No. Right? Jesus came to set us free from that, yes? And so we have to make sure that we come back. Now what you'll notice, and what's awesome here is what? That Jesus doesn't abandon him. In fact, Jesus pursues him still. Right? And what you see here is a little bit of, it's interesting how Jesus, we're going to get into the restoration of Peter, but Jesus pursues him. He pursues you too. Right? The enemy is the one that speaks shame and guilt and disappointment to your ear. But Jesus says what? Man, I love you. I've gone to the cross for you. Come to me. Come to me, all who are what? Weary, right? And in me you will find rest. You know, we're doing in our community group. If you're not in a community group, you need to be in one. It's a place to be, to be honest with you. Not Starbucks. Not the Dutch Bros. You think they'd be giving out like scriptures or Bibles in the Dutch Bro line, huh? But man, community group is where it's at. Why? Because we get together, we meet, we study God's Word. We've been studying, our study is called Encountering Jesus. And how time and time again, when people encounter Jesus, Jesus was not the kind of person or kind of God that when he encountered somebody, and it's usually when, if you made the Bible study that's called Encountering Jesus, they're not usually holy rollers. They're not usually people that were considered good in their standard at that time. Does that make sense? We started two weeks ago about the adulterous woman, right? We studied about the tax collector. And usually what we find time and time again is these are not people that are considered good people. But you know what we kind of see time and time again? What do we see Jesus doing? He sees them where they are, and he doesn't blame them. He doesn't tell them, how dare you? You should be ashamed of yourself. He doesn't say any of that. He usually says what? That your faith has set you free. Your faith in Jesus sets you free. And then he tells them something really important. And usually, he'll say, now go and sin no more. He doesn't shame them. And he does the same thing to Peter. Because listen, what if somebody let you down 3 times in a row? Our human nature would be like, where were you? Didn't I tell you, man, I needed you the most? And Jesus says what? He doesn't say any of that. He doesn't say that. He doesn't shame you. The world shames you. The enemy will shame you, but Jesus will not shame you. Jesus loves you. Amen? And he shows up. He shows up in your worst moments. He shows up when you're feeling, when you're all up in your emotions and feelings. Jesus is there. Amen? And he meets us there. That's the second point in today's message. That Jesus meets us there in our hurt, in our emptiness. Jesus meets us there in our hurt, in our emptiness. Because what do we see? What's happening? It's not by coincidence, brothers and sisters, that Peter went back to his old way of living. And he was trying to do his thing. And he went all night with his friends. They were trying to go back, what? Fishing. But the Bible tells us what? In verse 4, they caught nothing. Nada. Zero. How do you say it in another word, another language? Zilch. Settle. That's all I know. They caught nothing. Right? Isn't it interesting? Do you think that he wasn't a good fisherman? He had done this all his life. Do you think he didn't know how to fish? But what happens when we try to revert back to our old way, after we've been with Jesus, we go back to our old way, your life is not going to be fruitful. Peter was not successful. Why? Not because he didn't know how to fish. There's a story here, right? We always say, what does it mean to them? What does it mean to us? Peter was probably a skilled fisherman. Anybody, some skilled fishermen in here? I hear my brother in the back. I've heard this. My brother right here is fishing. Although, man, I never get invited to go fishing. Oh. Don't get invited to the barbecues. Don't get invited fishing. I'm doing something wrong. The only fish that I go is the filet-o-fish. McDonald's drive-thru. That's the only fishing I know how to do. Give me the Filet-O-Fish. Yes. Large fry, large drink. That's my fishing. That's right. But listen, Peter knew how to fish. But he went back to his old ways, and he's trying to do it on himself without what? Without God, without Jesus. Do you know what makes sense? And then he went back, and it was nothing. Listen, in your life, if you're trying to do your thing without Jesus in it, you're going to be what? You're not going to be fruitful. There's not going to be a blessing around it. Does that make sense? Especially if you already walk with Jesus. But here's the thing. Jesus shows up. Amen? He shows up in your hurt, and he shows up in your emptiness. He's not the kind of guy, not the kind of God that waits for you to get it together. He's not the kind of guy that waits for you to say, I'm just going to wait right here. Right? Is that familiar? You get into a conflict with somebody that you love, and you're just like, oh, I'm not going to go first because it was her fault, his fault. Just going to wait right here. You even do that too. I see people pointing in the back. Right? But listen, Jesus doesn't do that to us. Jesus shows up first. He's merciful and he is kind. He's good. He is loving. He's God. So they had been fishing all night and they caught nothing. And then Jesus shows up. Man, and what happens when Jesus shows up? Right? He tells them, why don't you just throw it to the other side? Now they did it. They were obedient. Listen, God is calling you to back to obedience. Yes? If you fall in, it doesn't say that you have to stay there. Get back up and try again. I was going to say it. I better not. If at first you don't succeed, you better dust yourself off and try again for Jesus. Amen? Who knows that song, though? That's what I want to know. Okay, go ahead, sister. Somebody. Aaliyah. Yeah, you guys know her. That's right. That's right. We're quoting all the 90s hip-hop on here. Probably the only church in the country that does that. God is good, amen? So you don't stay there. Jesus comes back, and when they are obedient once again to him, then what? The blessing shows up again. Listen, if you failed, if you've fallen, if you're empty and you're hurt, go back to be obedient to Jesus. That's the message there. Go back to being with him. Go back to the fellowship of Jesus. That's where, what? The joy is. You guys know where that's from? The nets were overflowing. And they caught 153 fish. Because he meets us there at our hurt and emptiness. Amen? Here's the thing. Like I said, he reveals himself to the disciples. And now Peter's so excited again, right? The disciple that Jesus loved? His name was John, right? I look over there. He says, it's the Lord. And what does Peter do? Goes, jumps in the water, right? I'm going. I need to be with him. There's something there as well. Listen, when Jesus calls you, go to him. When the Holy Spirit prompts you, listen, go do it. Stop thinking about it. Just go, right? Now, what's interesting, what happens with Peter, though, as he gets to the side, now this is a whole part of Peter's restoration. He gets to the side, and there's something interesting that Jesus does, right? Where it's now the restoration of Peter directly. It's not by happenstance or coincidence that Jesus has a fire lit, right? He's cooking. He has some fish going on. He's toasting the bread, right? And then he restores him by asking him what? Three different things. What does he say to him? He says, Peter, do you love me? Three times, right? Now, at another time, somebody had asked, right? Just a few days prior, the previous week. They had asked him three times if they knew Jesus, and three times he denied him. Yes? Where was that scene? It was around the fire, right? And Jesus has a fire. Now he's asking him three times again. And he says, do you love me? Right now, we just learned this actually. We went through this in our Bible study too. Because there's something unique and different about the ways that he asks him. Now, we have it here. Love in the English means what? Love, like I love my wife. Love, like I love my kids. Love, like I love the pozole in the back. Love, like I like a good torta, you know. What other? There's a lot of different, use the same word, but there's varying what degrees to it, yes? And so in the Greek, and what the New Testament would have been written in, there's four different words that are often used. You guys know these? You probably have heard them. The first one is agape. That is a fully committed love. It means unconditional, God-like love, right? The second one is like when I'm at McDonald's. It's phileo, right? You're going to memorize that one. You may not memorize anything, but it's like, oh, I remember the phileo fish. That's the second type of this, the second word that's in the Greek. And that's more for, listen, you guys know the city of Philadelphia, the first portion of it is the city of brotherly love, right? And so phileo stands for brotherly love, a deep friendship, deep affection. The third one is eros, right? That's romantic, that's passion, right? All the brothers and start, all the brothers smile. They're like, oh, pay attention, wife. That's another message for another time, okay? That's romantic and passionate love. And the last one is storge, S-T-O-R-G-E. That's a natural family love, like the way that we love our kids. That make sense? So four different words for the word. So the first time that Peter asks him, or that Jesus loves him, he uses the word agape, which is important because Jesus asks him, do you love me? The translation is, do you agape me? Right? And Peter kind of responds and he says, what does he say? He says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. What's interesting is that Peter doesn't respond using the same word that Jesus gave him. Right? It's like when you, we said this at Bible study. It's like when somebody, when you first start dating, and then the one person is the first one that says, you're kind of like jumping rope. You really like the person. You start to feel it, and you're like, I don't want to be the first one that says, I love that person. I love you. Because you're afraid that the other person might not respond in the same. They might say, oh, I really like you. Then you'd be like, oh, hurt in your feelings. Make sense? But Peter responds differently. Jesus says, do you agape me? A God type of love. And Peter says, yes, Lord, you know I phileo you. Right? You're like, so Jesus asks him again. And Jesus says, Peter, do you agape me? And he says it, yes, you know that I phileo you. He says it twice. And then the third time, look at what Jesus does. Jesus is so awesome. The third time, Jesus says, then do you phileo me? Right? And Peter says, and that in the third time, what happens to Peter? He breaks down. Right? He feels what? Let's see what the scripture says. And it says, Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him at the time, do you love me? And finally he says, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Right? Here's the reality of it. Is that Jesus met him even there at his need where he was. Right? That God is a God that loves unconditionally. That God is, listen, as much as we want to say that we can agape God, man, our love is finite. Does that make sense? We're not God. The more that you walk with Jesus, the more that you can start to love like Him. Does that make sense? You can start to love a little bit more sacrificially. You can start to love more unconditionally, but you will never love like God. Does that make sense? But Peter even meet, but God and Jesus even meets him at where he is to say, well, then do you phileo me? And then he says, yes, I do. You know that I love you, right? So Jesus tells him what? You better feed my sheep. Feed my sheep and feed my sheep. Three times he tells him that. And this is important because not only is Jesus restoring him, right? He starts to do what? Reinstating him in the purpose that he has for him. And listen, you have, every one of us, even though you might not be Peter, man, you've been called to something. You've been called to serve God. You've been called to do whatever God has. I say, listen, if God has made you a mom, if God has made you a teacher, if God has made you the manager, wherever you are, if God has made you serve, doing it like you're doing it for Jesus, that God has given you a purpose, that your failures don't disqualify you. Jesus has called you to it. That makes sense? And so, yes, in the world, all of us here, in the world's eyes, we're kind of like Peter. We have all failed. We have all fallen short of the glory. But through Jesus Christ, through the resurrection, through the restoration, man, God equips us to set us free, to go transform the world for Him, for His glory. And so we're invited by the same token, right? Like we said, Jesus meets him at his level. Well, what's really interesting here, right, is that Jesus doesn't shame him. He asks him a simple question. Do you love me? Are you committed to this? Right? Because listen, I'll be quite honest with you guys. The world, when you hear, oh, I love this, or I love that, or I love this, or man, the culture has so watered down, for example, relationships are, you know, the world sometimes tells us that the relationship is about you. It's not about you. Anybody who's gone through the marriage counseling classes with me, I always say, listen, your marriage isn't even about you. It's about God first. Your commitment before anybody else, it's not even about the other person. Your marriage has nothing to, you're like, what? Your marriage has nothing to do, very little to do with you. It has a whole lot to do with God. Make sense? Because in your own strength and ability, what do? We make a hot mess out of things. So, all to say this, right? That Jesus was calling him to a higher level of love. Like when we say it, when I talk about marriage counseling, God calls us into higher marriage of understanding and what that means, the relationship. Jesus is calling him into what? A higher love. He addresses his failure. He restored him. He didn't condemn him. Because Jesus had what? Peter had denied him what? Three times in public. And Jesus then did something. He restored him, what? Snowy. Does that make sense? And that's the third thing for today's message. The third fill in the blank. Number three, Jesus restores each of us personally. The same way that he did for Peter. Jesus restores each of us personally. He was inviting him to something else. He wasn't shaming him. He wasn't condemning him. And this is what I can say. The honest thing is that, listen, our love for God has to be something that we have to seek out. We have to pursue it. An intimacy with God. Does that make sense? It's not just going to happen. Good relationships don't just happen like, you know, oh, it just worked out. I've told you guys this and I shared this last week. I have a good relationship with my wife. Not because I'm good or because she's good, because God is good. It's taken a lot of work. A lot of work. It's still a lot of work. And I don't mean this in a negative way. But I don't go to the gym, but I put in, you know, my body doesn't show it. Like if you looked at me and I had a big old six pack, it's like, this takes a lot of work. No, this does not take a lot of work. It takes a lot of Big Macs, Taco Bell, whatever. The chicken chalupa, that's my jam. This does not take work. Having a healthy relationship takes work. Amen? I mean, I got to sacrifice. I got to put in work. How many times do I have to forgive? Seven times, seven, more than that. Good thing she's not keeping score. Make sense? I'm not keeping score either. I don't want you guys to think like, well, pastor's really messed up. No, she's not holy either, guys. That's just probably what it is. I have to forgive too, amen? I'd be like, man, the guys that feel like we get beat up all the time in here. They text me like, pastor, that was tough on me, man. How about you talk about the wives a little bit? How many times do we have to forgive each other? Seven times 77 times a million, maybe. Let's just say it. It takes hard work. It takes effort. But nothing is better, guys. Dig into your relationship with Jesus. Nothing is better. Why? Because from the overflow, it blesses all of your other relationships. And when you get God, you get God. Right? What's better than that? Listen, sometimes we in church, we talk about, oh man, when I can't wait to go to heaven, I can't wait to go to the streets of gold to get to heaven. Listen, heaven is just where God lives. Make sense? When we get to heaven, we get to be with God. Right? Let's not be the type of people that we're searching for the miracle, we're searching for the blessing. And when we get God, we get God. From everything else is added unto us after that, right? Matthew 6:33. And so Jesus is inviting us to a higher love, right? Now, I did purposely write this one down. Because in 1990, a young, talented gal by the name of Whitney Houston put out a song. And she says this. She says, think about it. There must be a higher love. Down in the heart, or hidden somewhere in the stars above. Without it, life is wasted. Look inside your heart, and I'll look inside mine. Things look so bad everywhere. In this whole world, what is fair? We walk the line, and we try to see. Falling behind in what could be. And then she says, bring me a higher love. Bring me a higher love. Oh. Bring me a higher love. Bring me a higher love. You guys know that song. You probably know the 2019, the upbeat version that was released. You guys know that one? Yeah, you know it. I'm not going to sing it. I know you guys want me to sing it. Come on, come on. No. What was she talking about? She was putting it out into the world that the world is hurt, that the world is falling. I need a higher love. Where is it? Is it in my heart? Is it in the stars? Listen, it's in the person of Jesus Christ. That's the higher love. And she says, bring me the higher love that what we've been dreaming of. All of us, man, we're made for God. We've been dreaming and trying to fill it with other things. And Jesus is saying, listen, to Peter, like he's saying to you, do you love me? Then go do what I said. Be obedient. Do you love me? Right? He's calling you to a higher love. And man, what is better than the love of God? Nothing. Nothing is better. See, Jesus, at the same time, this is really important. Because Jesus doesn't confront him and say, Peter, didn't I tell you that I was going to make you the rock and I got to restore you? 5 steps to healing, 10 steps to this, blah, 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 sound familiar? 10 steps to the better you, 15 steps to a healthier marriage. You name it, right? How many, you just Google it, 10 steps to a better life, a better bomb, better whatever it is, sound familiar? That's the culture that we live in. Do these things and then that'll be the outcome. Jesus doesn't say that. He doesn't restore his position. In fact, he doesn't even care about his position. Does that make sense? Because Jesus is intentional. What is he asking him when he says, do you love me? He's not talking about position. He's not talking about job. He's not talking about titles. He's not talking about education. He's not talking about any of that. He's talking about the heart. Talking about the heart. And so listen, as we walk around and we say, man, I love Jesus. Jesus You know, oh, I'm in my car. That little fish in my, I praise Jesus. I wash the window when I'm driving to work. Yeah, praising God. If that's you, I'm more of like a KB in the morning. The guys know, right? It's funny, sometimes when I drop the kids off to school, I'll do it and I said, I'll get in the car and I'll put, Lily, drop that beat. And it's a KB song or it's like a, it's an Andy Mineo, she knows. Right? I'm not washing the car. I'm just like, you know, I'm fighting demons in my car. But here's the reality of it. Let me go back to it. God doesn't care about any of that. He wants to restore your heart, right? And that's the question. Do you love Jesus more than you love yourself? Do you love Jesus more than you love having people think about, oh, there's a person that's whole or complete, than your self-image, than the part of you that you portray to the world, than your job, than your material wealth and your possessions? Do you love Jesus more? He's inviting you to a higher love. That makes sense? Because number four, what Jesus came to do is he came to recommission us for his mission. Let's fill in the blank. Jesus recommissions us for his mission. So what does that mean to you? And answer the question. Do you love Jesus? The question, do you love me? Then he says, then what? Then feed my sheep. Do the work that I've called you to do. Be obedient to it. More than anything is, listen, Jesus is calling you into intimacy with him and the Father through the power of the Holy Spirit, the Word. Number one. That's number one. But he has commissioned you for something. For Peter, he reminded him to say, you need to feed the sheep. That's the task that I gave you. He even tells him, he even describes that, listen, when he tells him, when you were younger, right, somebody clothed you and fed you and they guided you. When you're older, you're not going to see that. He's talking about the way that Peter's going to die, essentially. But for us, every one of us in here, we've been called to something. You know, the vision for our church is to transform lives, families, and communities in the Central Valley by knowing Jesus and making him known. Our mission, we said this, the kids say it every time, right? Why do we exist as a church? To connect people to God and the church through authentic worship, fellowship, relationship, and service, right? And so you're called to it, man. You have called and been invited by Jesus. Do you love Jesus? And listen, it's not about service. I know when we talk about this, sometimes it's like, well, I better get involved. Listen, Jesus doesn't need you. I talk about this like when I talk about money. You're like, oh, he's going to talk about money? I see people get nervous all the time. They grab their wallet. They're like, oh. You don't have to. I've said this. If you ever feel like you have to give by compulsion here at the church, don't give. God doesn't need your money like that. You're misunderstanding it. It's a spiritual discipline. You get to give and you get to build a kingdom. And if your heart is not in a place to do it, don't do it. Be quite honest with you. If you feel like I'm peer pressuring you to serve because you think it's going to make, you're going to gain tally points to look good for me or for Jesus, don't do it. Don't do it. What? It's not about works. Jesus wants your heart. Your devotion, out of the overflow from that relationship comes the ability to serve, comes the ability to be a joyful giver. Does that make sense? So first things first, man, do you love God? And if you just say yes and cultivate that relationship and get that right, man, we're good. We can. Let's start with the announcements already. Let's go have some more pozole. But that's first. Then it's the overflow. Make sense? And so Jesus is inviting us into that, into a service, because, man, we got to share the good news of who Jesus is. Each one of us were commissioned to do something for his mission. And when I get to meet Jesus, I want him to say, man, you killed that position I gave you, right? Man, you rocked it. Or do you want to get by and just to go see Jesus and just be like, what happened? Man, I gave you all these talents, gifts, and abilities, all these opportunities, and you did what? Did nothing. Qué pena. Oh, man. Little guilt trip there. But listen, it's your job to share the good news of Jesus. Why? Because when you love something, man, you can't help but share it. When you love God, let people see it, right? Let Matthew 5:16, right? Let your light so shine, right? That they may see your good deeds and that they may glorify your Father in heaven. You don't get the credit. You better give it to God. It's not about you. You have a great marriage and a great relationship. You better not take any of that credit. Right? Like sometimes like people will say, Pastor, you have a beautiful wife. I'll say, oh, thank you. I made her. What the heck? God made her, right? That's like saying, I can't, that would be dumb, right? If I take that kind of compliment. Sometimes you have you see the blessing of your life. Oh, thank you. I'm so blessed. You know, no, Jesus loves me. Amen? Let your light so shine, right, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. God gets all the glory, not us. Amen? We got to get busy serving, doing our part, feeding the sheep. I know my time's up. It's a true story. I wanted to buy Lily some sheep. I was going to make her a shepherd. I even told her. I said, I'm going to make you a shepherd. If I buy you some sheep, will you feed them? She's like for real, Dad, with the stick and everything? Yeah. Because I didn't want to mow that lawn. So God is calling us to feed the sheep. Amen? Let's do our part. That's the reality, right? God uses failed people like Peter. Listen, you don't have to have it all together to start to doing what God has called you to do. Intimacy with Him and then get to work for the kingdom. That's it. Just be obedient. You're not responsible for the outcome. You're responsible to be obedient. So for us, we're going to go and close up. All right, God is calling us. Right? What? He's resurrected. He's calling us to restoration. Let's answer the call. Amen? Let's pray. And today the prayer, we're going to pray a little bit, right? In three different portions. For those of us in here, because all of us in here, man, we're failures. We're broken. We're flawed. We're not perfect. You don't have to live ashamed. You don't have to live in your failure. Jesus isn't done with you. He's not done with us. Also, we're going to pray for the drifting. We've gone back to our old habits. Gone fishing. Jesus is saying, no, come back. He's calling you into intimacy. And if you've already been you've been resurrected, you've been restored, now you're called, then man, it's better time for us to go serve. Amen? It's time for us to go lead. It's time for us to go make disciples for the kingdom. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your goodness, Lord. You are an awesome God. Thank you for the restoration, Lord God, what we see in the life of Peter. Thank you, Lord God, for the restoration that you do in our lives, Lord God. Yes, Lord, we are not perfect. We are flawed, Lord God. You are good. You even say that. Who's good but you? Who's good but God? But thank you, Lord God, that you're not looking for perfect people, Lord. You are looking for people of faith. You're looking for obedience. So, Lord God, I just pray today, Lord God. Those of us in here that we're feeling broken, feeling the storms of life, we're feeling the attacks of the enemy, Lord God. We pray right now, Lord God, that we can just return to you, Lord. We continue to glorify and lift your name up on high, Lord God. Bring us to a place again when we just have to answer, yes, I love you, Lord God. I have my eyes fixed on the cross. You're going to get me through this. You're calling us, Lord God. And we receive it. We receive it, Lord God. We need your peace. We need your comfort. We need your strength. We need your church, Lord God, to come alongside. Help us to be that, Lord God. But more importantly, help us to return back to you, to surrender those things, Lord. We can't carry these burdens on our own. Lord God, you are God and we are not. You are sovereign. We are not. We're not equipped to handle these burdens and these pains and these challenges of life alone. But Lord God, you tell us to bring them to you because your yoke is light, Lord, and we can find rest in you. So that's my prayer for some of us. If we're feeling tired or attacked or persecuted, that we can just return to you, Lord Jesus. You are there. You are faithful. You're good. You're kind. When you receive it, Lord God, help us to surrender that to you. And Lord God, if we've failed and we've been apart, Lord God, we know that we have to repent, because you can have nothing to do with sin, Lord God. But help us to answer the question. Help us to put our love for you first, Lord God. Help us to continue to do that work in our, the root work that's required, Lord Jesus. Father God, if some of us in here have gone back to fishing, Lord, go back to our old ways, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, that you are the God that restores, the God that shows up. You meet us in our hurt. You meet us in our pain. You call us back. First to you. The word tells us that we can do all things through you, Lord, because you give us the strength. Not our own strength and ability, Lord God, but through you. You can do a supernatural work. So, Father God, my prayer right now, Lord God, is that we just recognize the attacks of the enemy, Lord. We recognize how he works. That we're not fighting against the flesh. We're not even fighting against our loved ones. We're not fighting against our coworkers. We're not fighting against the crazy neighbors, Lord God. We're fighting a spiritual battle. So help us to seek you first, Lord God. Then everything else gets added unto us. That's peace. That's hope. That's love. That's joy. You first, Lord. And that means surrendering the crown, putting aside our pride and our ego, and recognizing that you are God and that you are merciful and kind and that you always meet us at our need and you're calling us back into intimacy, back into a deeper love. Lord God, for all of us in here, we're all called. All called to the great commandment and the great commission. So lead us, Lord God, to serve out of the overflow, to lead out of the overflow, and to disciple, Lord God, the same way that you've taught us, Lord. Thank you again for all your kindness and your mercy, Lord God. I pray for every family that is here. Lord, I know the enemy is attacking our families, Lord God. I know that the enemy is attacking our relationships, our marriages, Lord God. We rebuke them in the name, in your name, Lord Jesus. That no weapon that is formed against our families and our church is going to prosper, Lord God. But that comes by being yoked to you, Lord God. Help us to recognize the fight that we're in, Lord Jesus. His enemy wants nothing to do but to rob, steal, and kill our joy, Lord. But you came that we could have life, Lord God, life to the full. Thank you, Lord God. We know, Lord Jesus, that in your resurrection, you've proven that you have power, Lord God. But in your restoration, you prove that you want to make us whole, Lord God, and live the full life. Thank you for your kindness and your mercy to us always, Lord. We love you. In Jesus Christ's name.